It is finished. That's a wonderful word. It's perfect tense. The war is over. The armistice is here. The deed is done. We have a done religion. This is the meaning of that word. It is over. Complete. Period. That's the message. And don't forget, when you read that in the scripture, it says Jesus said that with a loud voice. In other words, it was not something that was a release of his pain and sort of thanksgiving that it was over, but it was a sign of victory. It was a cry of victory. It is finished. And he said it with a loud voice, even after he had been suffering all those hours on the cross. He still had that vibrant spirit that what I am doing is important, and it's over now, and I am the victor. Wonderful. The sins that you have committed and that I have committed, that the world has committed, has been paid for. That's the message that the Christian church has. Christ died for all people. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Now this was his mission, and he completed it. And now he is placed in the grave. But not everybody is quite understanding of what really happened here. Because the disciples who were with him and saw him crucified, even though they heard those words, "It is finished," still were afraid, because they said, if they did that to my Lord and I am his follower, then certainly I am in danger too, and they might also come and crucify us. And so they hid behind locked doors. And on that Easter morning, when the women went to the grave to finish the burial, they discovered that the tomb was empty, and the angel said that he is risen. And they went with joy then and told the disciples, and they still didn't quite believe it. And so Jesus himself comes. Now this is the evening of Easter when he comes to them. It's still Easter day. And that evening he comes to them when they were hiding behind those locked doors. And he came in and he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now this peace is not something that they really understood yet. But what he was saying is pure gospel. He's saying, "Peace be with you," because now that barrier that was between you and God, your sins, has been removed. And now you are at one with the Father. You are at peace with God. And so this is what that word means. I have come after it is finished, and you now are at peace with God because you have been forgiven. That's what he's saying in that word, "Peace be with you." And it's a wonderful word for them to hear, because they certainly needed it. Just think, you know, they were probably saying, "Jesus is going to chide us for leaving him and for fleeing away and not having faith." But he doesn't do that. He simply says, "Peace be with you. It's finished. You have forgiveness." And then he showed them his hands and his side. It was not just a word of the gospel, it was a visible gospel. You have seen the wounds. This is the price I paid. And the sins now are completely removed. They have been forgiven, paid for. And so they were, it says, rejoicing, and they were happy. But not everybody believed yet. There was one that was missing. Now, why Thomas was not with them, we don't know. But because he wasn't with them, he didn't receive their witness and their encouragement to believe as he did later. And that shows us that even as Christians, we ought to be with the other Christians in order to get encouragement. And every time you miss the gathering of God's people, you miss that encouragement that is given one to another as Christ comes to us in his word and in his sacrament. And we need that togetherness. We need that help because we live in a world that's wrecked. It's broken. And it's not one that worships our God. It's not one that follows him, but follows self. And the great God is me, myself, and I. And that's what's most important. But in the church, we find that we have a Lord who says, no, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to act like I did, to love one another and to help one another and to be of service to one another. That's greatness in my kingdom. And we need to have that encouragement to go out and do that and not just worry about me, myself, and I all the time. We have others that have great needs that we can answer. And that's why God has left us here to be his servants and to serve as he did. And so there was one missing. His name was Thomas. Now, sometimes we're hard on Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. But I don't know if he acts any different than any other person on this earth when he heard that Jesus had died and now was risen again. Who ever heard of anybody coming back to life? I think Thomas was probably acting normally. I wouldn't believe that. You know, Tony Alamo tried to raise his wife up from death, but he couldn't do it. And nobody can raise somebody from the dead. We know that. But Jesus was alive again. Now, why would he doubt that? Well, he was doubting, all right. But I think it was normal. But there was something else, though. Thomas was hardcore doubting. You know, he said, I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my hands in his wounds. And I will never believe it until I can do that. That's pretty hardcore. Now, when Jesus came 8 days later and Thomas was with them, then he said to Thomas, not that, you know, I chide you for not believing. His heart was what? Still with Thomas. He wanted him to know the comfort that the other disciples had and rejoiced because Jesus was alive. He wanted Thomas to have that too. And that's the heart of Jesus. You know, when you find somebody in your relationship or in your knowledge, neighbor or friend, and they don't believe, and maybe some of your own children don't believe at times. I knew a pastor who was a pastor in one church for his whole life. One of his sons was a missionary in India. And his daughter, who was in the medical field, became a doctor, was not a believer. And he would meet with his own daughter in his office and try to reason with her and bring her to faith. And I don't know if she ever came to faith or not, but I know he tried and he did what he knew what would work, that he shared the word of God with her. And so don't ever stop praying for those people. Don't ever stop praying for those who are outside of the kingdom. Maybe they're in your own relationship, as we said. Never stop praying, because God's desire is that all men be saved. And this is why he treated Thomas with love. He met his demands. He says, okay, if you wanted to do that, then touch him and see. And then he said, blessed are those that have not seen, that is visibly, my wounds, and yet believe. He's talking about you and me. We have come to faith through his word and through the Spirit. And God blesses us because of that. And our joy is full too, because we have seen the Lord in his word. And we know he's with us. And we know that our sins are forgiven. And we know that whatever comes into our life, whatever difficulties or trials, they will not win out, because Christ has risen and is there in eternity and will come again and take us to himself in heaven. We'll win in the long run. The victory is always ours in Christ. So never give up that hope that somebody can be changed, because God's Spirit can do that. And then Jesus says something else. That was a personal kind of comfort that he gave to them when he said, peace be with you. And when he came again, he said, peace be with you once more. And this was a kind of peace that was your job. It's something that he wants you to do. It's your vocation. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is a command. And now he says, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This is a commission this time for others. He said, you, whomsoever, you and I are included. In other words, we call this the office of the keys. Christ has given to his disciples the office of the keys. A key opens something, and it also locks something. And the office of the keys is the gospel. Whoever sins are forgiven. That opens heaven. And whoever sins, they are not forgiven, that they don't repent, that locks heaven. And so we have this office of the keys. He gave that to the church. And you as an individual have that office. And you can go to your child when it sins and when it's sorrowful, and you can say, you are forgiven. And that's not your word that forgives. It's already there, because Christ died for those sins. That forgiveness is there. You simply declare it, that it's true. You simply declare to those people, your sins are forgiven because Christ died for them, and it's already there. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to squeeze it out any place. It's there, simply for the believing. Now the church gives that office to the pastor publicly. The public office of the ministry, when he says, after your confession, that his office, by virtue of my office, I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The pastor simply declares. He doesn't forgive. He declares that the forgiveness is there. And then the other part is that if someone doesn't believe and doesn't repent and doesn't take advantage of that forgiveness, then those sins are not forgiven. And the point is that this happens in heaven. Whatever you do on earth, he says, I ratify in heaven. And so you have the commission from God that he gave that to the disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whomsoever sins you retain or do not forgive, they are not forgiven. That's our mission. But it's the joyful side that we're really interested in. And that is to share the forgiveness that God has won for us on the cross. And this commission is ours until we die. Now, as we look forward, some of the passages in Scripture that are our help that we can use a lot of times when we tell people this are those passages which we have heard so much. Psalm, for instance, 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And Matthew or Micah 1:19, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread out our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Or Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. So we often say that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. They've been buried in the depths of the sea. God remembers them no more because they're covered with the blood of Christ. And we come out washed clean and are sparkling before God. Not because of what we did or didn't do, but because he said, "It is finished," on that cross. And this is what happens now on Easter evening. God's desire and compassion is fully alive. He wants his disciples to have that joy of forgiveness. And then he sends them forth into the world with that message. Your sins are forgiven, or they are not forgiven. And you are to spread that message and to give it to the world. And that's what the world needs more than anything else today. To know that it's not I that's so important. It's not my needs that are the greatest. It is the fact that God loves us and has provided an eternity for us and has forgiven our sins and has called us into a ministry of service. And it's more blessed to give, he says, than to receive. And I think you'll find that true. When you help people, when you share the message of forgiveness, that makes your heart glad. When you see someone else rejoicing and receiving the same joy that you have. There was a missionary who ran across a 16-year-old girl, and she was brought to faith. She was a Muslim, and tragically she died. And it says her mother asked the missionary, "What did you do to our daughter?" And the missionary said, "Well, I did nothing." And she replied, "Yes, you did. She died smiling. Our people do not die like that." In other words, she knew the joy of forgiveness. She had the hope of eternal life. It brought a smile to her face. That's what we're here for. That's what Jesus gave his disciples. That's what he gave Thomas. And that's what he wants us to be a missionary of, the joy of forgiveness. Peace be with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.